Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram time.
It's 5:59.
104.9.
Preset us on your radio.
Pick up.
It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening, and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. We'd like to mention this before we start with our report, that the Alsager County baseball game with Powell that was scheduled for last Wednesday has been rescheduled for tonight. Therefore, we couldn't get it scheduled, so that game has been played. If you're missing the game and want to go out and watch the Powell County boys, they are in action tonight. Game started at 5:30, so they are underway at the Powell County High School baseball field over at City Park.
Yep, you're exactly right.
So now I go to Ken with our new COVID updates.
And we will actually go back to last Friday. So last Friday the 2nd, as there were 51 active cases in Powell County. When we get to Monday, let me look at this again. When we get to, they didn't put the dates on there, so it's throwing me off a little bit. When we get to Monday, there were 47 active cases. That made three new. When we get to Tuesday, 47 new cases. There were two new cases that were added, and two individuals met the criteria. When we get to today, they just posted it about 11 minutes ago, six new cases, however, six individuals met the criteria for recovery. So we still have 47 active cases here in Powell County. That brings the total case count to 1,121. 1,062 have recovered, 12 unfortunate deaths. Powell County is still in the red. We are one of five counties, I believe, that are still in the red. We've got quite a bit of yellow and orange around us. But we are the lone red mark kind of here in central Kentucky in this area. So the state numbers, again, no report came out today as far as the state. When you look at yesterday's numbers, the total case count was 429,841. So, you know, we're approaching that half a million mark as far as total count, 6,184 deaths. There were 344 new cases as of yesterday. Let me look here as far as the breakdown, the looking for the positivity rate, 2.89%.
So positivity rate is looking better. I know the state number a couple of days ago was actually on a rise. It was a little bit of an increase. We had been on a little plateau or lowering, but a few days ago we had over 800 cases, which was up prior to that. But in Powell County, again, we are fighting the red zone here in the county. And it is concerning that there are six additional cases. I do believe a lot of those cases now are coming from a couple places here in the county. I won't say who because I don't think that's our job, but there are a couple places been hit pretty hard here as of late. But there are still some community spread. So that is concerning. We are still not in good shape here in the county. I don't know what our vaccine numbers are here in the county locally, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we've got, you know, players still quarantined for softball. I'm not sure about the baseball, but you know, when we're still talking about players being quarantined and things like that, we are still not out of the water yet. So, or out of the woods yet. So there are still some issues going on here, and if you listen to the media, which, and the science, new strain coming out that's mainly attacking younger people. This one is attacking, seems like 16 and under more severely. I think it's B. I can't remember the number of the new virus, new mutant strain, but it is definitely affecting the younger folks, school age folks more often. And in Europe, it's hitting pretty hard. We usually lag about a week behind them, but there already is spread that has started within that age group here in the United States with that new strain. So they are still talking April with another good surge. So we will kind of just wait and see.
Yeah, and the fact that we are actually still in the red, we are currently, the school district is on spring break.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people traveling. Under those circumstances, it makes you wonder, okay, people are going to be coming back where they have been, in a sense, as far as traveling out of state under those circumstances. Then are people going to potentially be asymptomatic coming back, bringing that into Powell County? So the fact that we are still red, we're on spring break, a lot of people traveling, potentially bringing that back. And as we've discussed time and time again, the people who are asymptomatic, based on science, are the ones who are more than likely to spread the virus or transmit the virus as it is. So therefore, those travelers coming back, potentially asymptomatic, our numbers are already high. Once we get back in school, back into session, in a sense, where will those numbers go? Will we continue to stay in the red? Will the numbers increase, or, you know, basically stay about the same? But remains to be seen, but obviously it's going to be very concerning, in a sense, the fact that we are still red with those high numbers.
I just look for another uptick. Like I said, people are traveling, and that's, again, I don't have a big problem with that at this point, but you got to be careful when you travel, where you go, or whether you're masking or not, whether you're around folks that are another high place where it's high numbers. But the good news, I guess, is come out this week. If we talked about this last time, that people who have been vaccinated now are no longer to be considered spreaders, because theoretically you can't catch it. Therefore, you can't spread it, except for 5%. So if you do catch it, you're one of those unlucky 5%. If you do spread it, you're one of those unlucky 5%. I guess the good news, again, on the vaccine is that it's going to last at least 6 months, maybe longer. So more good news coming out about the vaccine, but we still got a lot of folks that have not been vaccinated.
And when you look at the numbers, actually, I'm guessing probably about 20% maybe of the population, I think, is all that we're even looking at this point. So still, yeah, a large percent of people that have not been vaccinated at this point. There are a lot of people who are waiting, in a sense, to figure out what they believe for themselves is the best option. Which route do they want to necessarily, you know, take, whether it's the Johnson & Johnson, the Pfizer, the Moderna, et cetera. And I get now at this point, they're basically all available, in a sense, no matter which county you go to, no matter where you decide to be vaccinated, those are all available. It's just a matter of some people are just waiting more science to come out, et cetera.
Well, I think we're getting to the point now where we're going to pretty much know all we're going to know for a while. Again, I like the 6 months at least. I like where now if you've been vaccinated, you can't spread. You still have to wear the mask, but they're getting kind of more lenient, I guess, if you have been vaccinated. I know we just went to a Reds game, and they're having a promotion. If you've been vaccinated once, bring your certificate. You get $10 tickets. You get up to six for $10. I'm sure they're not the best seats in the house, but they're at least you get into the game and get to watch if you want. But, again, that's a pretty nice, you know, deal for the Reds to offer that for vaccinated folks that, you know, if you want six tickets, come on one vaccine. I guess if you've been vaccinated twice, you can go twice and, you know, it's just $10 a ticket. Again, up to six. Pretty nice little deal. So, for an example, I guess if my family went, we all been vaccinated twice, that would be a total of eight games we could go to, all four tickets for $10. Not a bad gig if you wanted to sit in the red seats, which upstairs, I say upstairs, the top row. But still, if you want to enjoy the game and the scenery, it's a good way to buy get tickets.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I would assume there would be a lot of Major League Baseball, and potentially even NBA, for that matter, and even NHL, that would be doing those types of promotions, especially to try and get fans back into the arenas.
And the vaccine is free. So, again, it's a perk. If you had the vaccine, you go get a ticket. So, again, this is something that's going to – I'm not sure it's going to take place as of yet. I think it may be, like, in the next couple of weeks, going to open up there for the Reds game. So, again, nice way to I guess, push, if you will, the vaccine on folks to get the cheaper tickets. Just one way to do it. Just a little incentive for folks to get tickets or to get the vaccine, and then come to enjoy the Reds games again. We were up there again. Pretty strict on masks. It was pretty neat. They were, we wore a mask. Unless you're actively eating or drinking, then you don't have to. I watched the game. I guess it kind of depends on your person that's around you, too. It's, again, they were very, very supportive of the mask mandate and very making sure people were wearing it. Actually, we watched the guy get escorted out because he wouldn't put it on. So it's kind of nice to see people at least enforcing those rules. It's a tough job that those ushers have and security folks have. But, those are some things that probably need to be happening if you're going to have the protocols in place. We'll mention this real quick here while we're talking COVID. Got a game coming up with Estill County on Monday, and I'm sure the baseball game is the same way for tomorrow night. We'll talk about it in a moment. But strict protocols are in place for traveling to Estill County. 20 minutes arrival time. This is for baseball and softball, for varsity and for JV. If there is a JV game, you're asked not to arrive but 20 minutes before the game starts. I don't know how you figure that for baseball or softball, so good luck figuring that one out. Make sure you have exact change when you check in. It's $5. Make sure you have the exact change. You will not be giving any change back. And the teams will have to bring their own game balls to be used by us over there. And I don't know if they're doing the same thing when they come over here or not. But those are the protocols for Estill County. Two people per player. Rosters have to be sent over beforehand to know who's coming and things like that. So Estill County's doing it's pretty strict as far as outdoor sports and what others are doing. Theirs is pretty strict, but again, that's their health department chiming in. That's what they're doing for their athletics program.
Well, as we've noticed, going all the way back even to last year, everybody's doing something different. Yeah. Everybody's doing what they think is in their best interest for their community. So therefore, if that's what they're requiring, then you adhere to that and you go forward. Exactly. Yeah. And obviously, everybody continue to socially distance, wash your hands, sanitize, congregate in small groups. Obviously don't step outside those boundaries in a sense. And again, we've got to continue, especially here in Powell County, get those numbers down.
Yeah. Also, fans, if you're attending the baseball or softball game, which will be tomorrow for baseball and Monday for softball, fans will be asked to wear their mask unless there is a designated area, I guess, that you can go to where you take those off for a minute. But fans will be asked to adhere to the mask policy. So we'll have to take care of the rest of it ourselves in the dugouts. But I think they're going to be pretty strict on it over there. I'm not sure. Rather nobody test it. Just kind of wear your mask, do the right thing. It's what you're supposed to do anyway.
At this point, we're used to it.
Yes, we are. So we'll step away for another break or a break here on PCSN Live with David Kent.
Ever think about this? 83% of customers who buy from Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram buy again. The reason? Great deals, great service, and a simple way of doing business. March is Ram Truck Month, and the all-new 2021 Ram pickups are priced to sell. Come see why the Ram is the truck of the year for 2019, 2020, and 2021. Come see why Tanner is the best place to buy. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Faulkner along with Ken Simon. We want to switch gears a little bit now, cover some high school basketball. We'll start with boys action at the state tournament last week.
Yeah, actually, the first game to kick off the Sweet 16 was Knott County Central coming out of the 14th region as they faced off against Elizabethtown coming out of the 5th region, and it was Elizabethtown 87-59 over Knott County Central to advance. Then in the second game, it was Bowling Green against University Heights. Bowling Green coming out of the 4th region and University Heights coming out of the 2nd. It was Bowling Green defeating University Heights 85-57. And then the 5 o'clock game, it was Ballard playing against Madison Central. Madison Central out of the 11th, Ballard out of the 7th, as it was Ballard 70-61 over Madison Central. And in the nightcap, it was George Rogers Clark out of Winchester, Clark County there, facing off against Oldham County. So it was the 10th against the 8th, and it was GRC 54-47 over Oldham County to advance. And then day two, it was Highlands defeating Muhlenberg County 88-60. McCracken County defeated Bullet East 68-56. Boyle County over Paintsville 70-56. And then in the nightcap, it was Ashland Blazer over Knox Central 56-38. So day two, not a lot of close games really to speak of. Kind of surprising once you get to this level, really, the difference in points. You know, it kind of surprises me in many respects that, you know, you have the better teams in a sense that advance. Sometimes obviously teams can get lucky in a sense and pull off an upset or a victory. But at the same time, when you get to this level, to think that, you know, 15 to 20 plus point range or whatever else, kind of surprising. So then
the closest margin the first round was 7 points. And that was a Clark County game. And then next that was a 9-point win by Ballard over Central. And you talk about Central. We talked about them last week. Ran through that region with a very tough region.
Yeah,
that they're in, and you know, a team like that getting knocked off quickly by Ballard, only a 9. Everything else was really kind of a blowout. I mean,
surprising.
To me, yeah, 10 or more points of every other game played in round one.
Yep, and now let's go to the second round. The opening game was Elizabethtown against GRC, as it was Elizabethtown 65, George Rogers Clark 44. Again, just surprised at the margin difference there. The second game had Ballard against Bowling Green. It was Ballard advancing 61-53. And then the 5 o'clock matchup had Ashland Blazer against Boyle County 80-44 in that game.
Shocker there.
Right? And then the nightcap, Highlands over McCracken County 63-53.
You know, I think it's good basketball, but again, the margins were large. I mean, you talk about the second round game of the state tournament, and the closest game that you have there is an 8-point win, and then a 10-point win, Highlands over McCracken. But Ballard over Bowling Green was the closest game in round two.
Yeah, unbelievable in a sense. Now we go to the semifinals as it's Elizabethtown against Ballard. Again, a 16-point victory for E-Town, 69-53 over Ballard. And then the second semifinal game, Highlands over Ashland Blazer, 66-50.
Again, the margin, both 16. We're talking about Highlands and E-Town, the two finalists in the championship. Number one, number two team all season long. That's nice to see, and something that's different. There were really no huge upsets here in the state tournament until we get the championship game, which was, a little bit of a high scoring but a big gap in between the two championships.
Yeah, definitely players. Lopsided as Highlands wins 79-60 over Elizabethtown for their first Sweet 16 state championship for Highlands. Again, 19-point margin of victory. You'd think at that point you would get a very competitive game, and you know, obviously Highlands just proved that they were the better team on that day.
I wasn't there. I talked to some folks about Highlands, and they said they were really good hitting the three-point shots, and I think they hit, what, three or four early shots. That just got them started against the E-Town team. Again, a very good defensive team in E-Town. Just couldn't defend the three well. That's just kind of, I guess, the picture I got painted for me. I know we had an unofficial bracket at the family there, and I got every game right until the championship. I missed that one. But I was kind of proud of myself. Again, I got, how many is that? That's 8, 12. I got 14 right before I get the championship game in number 15.
That's not bad. Not a bad outing. And actually for Highlands, 30-4 record. So they played 34 games. And when you look at Elizabethtown, 22-3, 25 games. So obviously you look at that.
One, no COVID cancellations for sure.
That's exactly right. Right. But still, nonetheless, two really good teams. Again, it's unfortunate, unless you're a Highlands fan in a sense, to not see a very competitive matchup in a sense where it's kind of back and forth.
I'm sure they enjoyed a not competitive game. I mean, again, a competitive game can go either way. But really, if you look at the state tournament and the picture of the state tournament this paints, it's just a big gap in every game played. I mean, it was just, you got your elite teams and your people that aren't just as good. I mean, that just aren't as good as those top caliber teams that you have in the state. But that's boys basketball. Again, there was a lot of, to me, this year was weird. You had folks not follow rules. You had teams practicing and when they probably shouldn't have been, and playing maybe when they shouldn't have been. But again, you hate to say, well, rewards go to those who don't follow the protocols. But I'm sure some of these teams did. I'm not saying they all didn't, but I'm sure there are probably some that play that probably didn't follow the protocols as closely as others, because if you're clicking on all the cylinders like that, man, you have had to have a preseason conditioning or at least a veteran team. And I think that was a veteran Highlands team. I know it was a veteran E-Town team. So again, we talk about veteran players. We talk about NCAA just like that as well. Who usually win the championships? Normally it's the teams that are the most experienced.
Yep, you're exactly right. Let's kind of segue then to the girls Sweet 16, which just got underway earlier today. And that had to be tough in a sense. All of a sudden, you're waiting a week, basically, in order to get started for the girls' Sweet 16. As in the opening round, it was Sacred Heart versus Knott County Central. Again, Knott County Central coming out of the 14th region, where they had an impressive run to get that regional championship. However, Sacred Heart, impressive win, 64-32 was the final. So they double up the Lady Patriots, and Sacred Heart, very good team. They are kind of one of those top teams in a sense as well, as far as when you look at what they've been able to do. And then in the second game, it was Bowling Green. Both boys and girls make it to the Sweet 16, as it was Bowling Green 50, Bishop Brossert 48. That was a double overtime game. So a back and forth match there. So it was nice to kind of see at least one of the games that, you know, kind of that back and forth go to double overtime as opposed to the first matchup. And basically it was Sacred Heart from the get go.
I guess for boys and girls basketball, the one to go watch is the girls, because they at least have one that was close.
Right.
You have a lot of these blowout games when you get there. Just I think the matchup sometimes really are there with the, you got a, I'm not saying Knott County is a bad team. Sacred Heart's a really good team. They were probably a one and done anyway when you got out of the 14th to go play. That's how bad of a draw the 14th got, and apparently boys and girls, because the boys drew E-Town, the eventual runner-up, and again, the number one ranked team in the state. You're probably going to look at yourself saying, well, guys, we're going to play one game and come to the house. And actually, I think we passed the Knott County bus. They were coming back home the other day. So Kayla, I think Megan went somewhere and passed the Knott County bus on the way home. A short trip there at Rupp Arena. But again, congratulations for all those who qualified for the state tournaments. More action to come as far as the girls. Later on tonight, it will be against Franklin County and South Laurel, probably already tipped off, if not.
Yeah, that was a 5 o'clock start.
And then Anderson County and Southwestern wrap up the nightcap there. And
Anderson County, one of the top teams, expected to truly vie for that championship. So that'll be an interesting. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah. Let me go back real quick to Knott County Central.
Go ahead.
I don't think that they lose any players. I think they're one of the teams that don't
maybe one senior.
I can't remember, but it's either them or Letcher Central that ended up losing one of the players. So don't be surprised if Knott County Central, a very competitive team, basically returning everybody to their team next year, doesn't try and come away with another championship.
They lose two
of them.
Knott County. They lose Mackenzie Conley, and I don't really remember calling that name a lot.
I don't either.
But the other one was Kira Mullen. She's one of their leading scorers, leading players. For Knott County Central, but again, only lose two, and who knows with the new rule, they decide to come back. Who knows?
Yep, you're exactly right. At the same time, Letcher County Central, I believe, lost one. Pike County Lady Pirates potentially lose one as well. So the 14th, but the only team that really, in a sense, kind of hurt as far as an excellent season would be Owsley County. Owsley County. Loses about four or five seniors on their team.
Three starters anyway.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
One off the bench.
Yeah.
But again, three starters. The Letcher Central loses one. Brooke Bates, who was one of their leading players as well for Letcher Central. But again, this is a very young ball club at Letcher Central. They were really impressive to me all the way through the tournament. Just played really good defense. Fouled a little bit too much, but other than that, I mean, it's very good defensive team coming back for Letcher Central. So that district, just think about this, that district, Letcher Knott, going to be a tough one again next year.
You're exactly right. So let's flip over to tomorrow with the girls' Sweet 16. The early matchup will have Pikeville against Marshall County at 11 o'clock. The 2 o'clock game will have Bethlehem against Bullet East. The 5 o'clock game will have Henderson County against Apollo, and then the nightcap will have Dixie Heights against Russell. Again, a lot of games still left to be played for the girls' Sweet 16.
Yeah, again, those who are down there, just have fun, enjoy yourself. You should see a good tournament. Again, girls' tournament is a little bit more predictive. However, the boys' tournament looked like it was fairly predictive as well this year. But those that are there, enjoy. And again, all the teams who qualified, congratulations, and again, well done. So we'll take another break here on PCSN Live. Back in a moment here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We're going to switch gears. We're talking about basketball. We're going to stay there, but we're going to move to the NCAA tournament. We'll start with the men's basketball tournament, and we'll just kind of do the final four for you. It was Gonzaga in a exciting victory. What you saying, that transfer from Kentucky missed a shot, got his own rebound, put back, tied it up, and then the guard for Gonzaga gets a 50-footer to tie, bank shot, if you will, to actually win the game, 93-90. Again, had he missed, they go into overtime play anyway, but they got the win there. And then Baylor had a fairly easy game over Houston, 78-59, to get to a 1-2 overall seeds in that tournament. Number 1-2 all season long, Houston and Gonzaga. Gonzaga coming in undefeated, but it was Baylor for the win over Gonzaga, and really a game that wasn't that close.
No, and I think, you know, I think once Gonzaga ended up going to overtime against UCLA, and the way they won, that was almost a championship caliber game. I think the fact that it was the later game, I think by the time the Monday night rolled around, they were mentally and physically exhausted. They were not expecting the speed and quickness of this Baylor team. And Baylor basically just came out and just put it to them and restricted anything and everything that Gonzaga wanted to do. At that point, Baylor proved that they were the better team on that night.
But it also shows you defense will win championships,
yes,
not just an offensive game. Now, you have to have some offensive players, but defense will win you some championships. So your Baylor Bears' first national championship in their basketball history. So kudos to the men's Baylor program.
I think the last time they were there was 1948.
Against
UK.
Kentucky.
Yep, against the Wildcats.
Taking them down, the Kentucky Wildcats did back in 48. I wish we were that good now.
Well, exactly. But nonetheless, it's still entertaining. Again, I think the Gonzaga-UCLA game, obviously UCLA being a surprise, you know, one of the last four in, and all of a sudden to make it to the Final Four, they overachieved in so many ways. Obviously, Johnny Juzang, who transferred from UK, proved that, you know, he's that caliber of player. It's unfortunate under the circumstances that, you know, sometimes when these players transfer out, as a UK fan, you get to see a different side of those players, and it makes you wonder, like, okay, well, what happened at UK? Why were they not that player? But we could say that about any number of players, even once they make it to the NBA. It was like all of a sudden you realize, like, wow, like, look what that kid is able to do on an NBA court. Why wasn't he able to do that at UK? Oh, wait, okay, let's go back to the head coach. Maybe the head coach actually restricts, you know, picks his players, sticks with those players, and kind of takes it from there. But nonetheless, an exciting tournament, that's for sure, under those circumstances. As actually, I'll switch over to the women's Final Four.
And again, very predictable outcome. Arizona, the only team coming in that actually defeated the one. Actually, they didn't do it, but their bracket was a 3-4 in the semifinals. Indiana or NC State was the loser, but they were the one seed out of that bracket. The only one not to qualify for the championship.
Yeah, which was kind of surprising in and of itself. Again, we talked about the women a couple of weeks ago, in a sense that NC State, one of those top teams,
yeah.
Stanford, South Carolina, even Connecticut. Surprising that Arizona beat Connecticut by 10 points. You know, obviously with
big upset, though. I mean, it was close for there for a while, but final margin was 10.
Yeah.
But a big upset.
And how could you not pull for, not necessarily pull for them, but how could you not expect Connecticut, with that strong history and everything, for them not to get to that championship game. And then the other Final Four game, Stanford over South Carolina, 66-65. Again, another exciting game. You expect that kind of matchup, if you will. And then the championship game, it was Stanford with a one-point victory over Arizona, 54-53. Very competitive games on the women's side. Again, a very exciting tournament as well. Louisville, the Louisville basketball program, ended up losing to Stanford, who became the eventual national champion. And when you look at what Louisville has done as far as being able to make the tournament, et cetera, they got a really good program, you know, down the interstate there in a sense, and consistently are very competitive and make a good run in the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, just ended up running into a better Stanford team.
You know, and Kentucky was also a two seed in women's basketball this year, but got knocked out relatively early in the tournament. But again, a good run. Again, the women's tournament usually is always fairly predictable as far as who gets out there. And again, Kentucky is one of those two seeds that lost early. Like I said, the NC State lost in the Sweet 16. Again, so, you know, when you get out there, it's competition is tough. You got a champion like Stanford now, again, winner by one over Arizona. It had to be heartbreaking loss for them after they come off a big win over Connecticut, who is always dominant in women's basketball. But the Stanford Cardinal back on top for women's basketball. So congratulations again to all that qualified and made it. And it shows you, again, people don't really maybe watch women's basketball enough. So competitive. These girls are so talented, fundamentally sound. It's a pure game of basketball that the women play than what the men play. It's just, I just feel that it's a pure form of basketball.
And in some ways, I kind of like some of the rules that they have as well. They do not have a 10-second count to get across half court.
Well, you got a shot clock.
Yeah, you do have a shot clock, but no 10-second count. So therefore, I think it's kind of interesting. You just kind of dribble in the backcourt, and you know, in a sense, and kind of I don't know, waste a little bit of time if you want to. I mean, and at the same time, the full court pressure not nearly as effective to get that 10-second count in order to get a turnover. So again, I kind of like little rule changes like that.
Well, I mean, again, to me, it's kind of a moot point because you've got a shot clock. Even the 5-second rule, it's very difficult to get a 5-second count because people are really, you've got a shot clock anyway. You're speeding the tempo up regardless. Doesn't matter where it's keeping backcourt, front court, whatever. You got 24 seconds to get a shot off. They also play quarters in women's basketball.
Yeah.
Versus the two halves. So I kind of like that as well. But that's just a purist point of view. Just my perspective there. And that will wrap up the NCAA Women's Tournament. Again, congratulations to Stanford. Your national champions. Baylor women, by the way, made it to the Elite Eight. So men's champions, women's Elite Eight, lost by two over UConn. So very good competition. So congratulations to all those teams. As Ken said, go Louisville. I'll say go Kentucky. I'll stand up for the Lady Cats because I tell you what, they have built a good program.
Both universities teams. Have, absolutely. Yes.
And congratulations for Kentucky basketball to have some form of success, however it be, in women's basketball. We'll take it.
You're exactly right. We'll definitely take it.
Much better than watching men's. We'll step away for another break here on PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Ridgeway. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Ridgeway.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Attorney Teddy Flint represents people in personal injury cases. Call for a free consultation. Remember, Teddy Flint only gets paid if you do. Attorney Teddy Flint, sponsoring radio broadcast of the Powell County Pirates. This is an advertisement. Court costs may be the responsibility of the client.
Your Stanton Ace Hardware has geared up for the biggest garden season in history. They've been reserving product for months to fulfill all the needs of their wonderful, loyal customers. They have an abundant stock of canning supplies, plants, and seed. Stop by Stanton Ace Hardware for all your lawn and garden needs. They practice safe social distancing, and masks are a must. Ace, the helpful place.
And welcome back to PCSN Live. This is Dave Faulkner along with Ken Simon. We're going to can we get off the basketball gear. Their basketball season has now ended except for women's basketball in Kentucky for high school ranks. That is still going on this week. Now we're going to switch gears. We'll go Powell County baseball. They are in action tonight. I may actually try to step down there after the show to see if they're still playing against Owsley County. Game time start was at 5:30. It's a makeup game from last week, which is one of the reasons we did not bring you that game here tonight. So let's go to Powell County baseball as they have got off to a rough start this season. And I will say that this way. They are 0-4. However, first game of the season, they played Hazard, lost 7-4. Very respectable loss there. Played Knott County over at Round County in their tournament and lost that one 5-4. So traditionally, two of your strongest teams in the 14th region, Knott and Hazard. Powell has played early. Both of those were losses. Also played a tough Round County team, lost that game 6-0. And then Morgan County dropped that one 9-5. That was actually yesterday. And again, play Owsley County today, district matchup here at home. And then tomorrow, we'll travel to Estill County. Big district matchup, which Ken will have here on WSKV at 5:30. Is that right?
Correct.
And then Saturday, the boys will also play Fleming County. That game is away, and then they will travel to Owsley County on the 13th, which is on
Tuesday,
right? Yeah, on Tuesday, they'll travel to Owsley County for the district game at Owsley. So that's the next week for the Powell County baseball team.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the Pirates 0-4 on the season. Owsley County 1-2. Owsley County, though, has put up some pretty good numbers in their game so far. They defeated Buckhorn 14-10, lost to Menifee County 13-10, lost really bad in four innings to Bath County 16-1. But nonetheless, Owsley County with that 1-2 record still putting up some big numbers. Lee County coming in. They've just played one game on the season. They got beat by Wolf County 12-1. And then Estill County already played six games so far. They are 3-3 on the season. Again, they've put up 20 runs against Breathitt County on Monday. 20-13 was the final of that score. So
who was that again?
Against Breathitt County.
That was
Estill
County?
Estill and Breathitt, yes.
Well, Estill County, again, has always had a good... They got a great feeder program at Estill County. Have had traditionally for years. Have had a great feeder program all the way through, the high school. They do a good job at Estill County getting their kids ready to play. Powell County, I think, is doing a better job now. With the Little League has improved a little bit. Plus, their travel teams have done a good job here as of late, which is why we're going to see some success, especially in the future here in Powell County. I think a lot of their talent is still freshmen and below. So what we have now. Again, it is a very competitive team. I think Coach Bench has done a good job with them, to be competitive against the teams he's been competitive against. So far this season, leading the Pirates in hitting, Cam Del Rosario is batting .500. That's only six at-bats. Austin Begley at .400. Braden Rogers coming in at .500. And this is not including last night's game. L.W. Napier at .222. And then Hayden Kane at .200. They got some guys that have got to start hitting the baseball. Only 7 kids have tallied hits so far this season. Again, we're still early, and that does not include last night's statistics as far as the season goes. And looks like they're pitching the ball not too poorly either. So again, and that ERA lead goes to Hayden Kane. He's he's had 7 innings of pitching. He has given up 6 runs, but only 3 of those have been earned. So I looked at the game against Hazard, I believe, and gave up five runs, but three of those were unearned. So, you know, you clean up your defense a little bit, help out the pitcher, and you're competitive against Knott County was that game. So if you clean up your defense, you maybe pick up some wins against one of the top notch teams in the region. So what I'm looking at is a team that is probably overperforming with a couple of those games they've played. But again, I think expectations for this team is higher than what they're playing right now.
Well, it's a shame, obviously, and everybody can say this, when you go back, the fact that they didn't necessarily have a season last year, including your softball team. But I think when you look at what Coach Frank Spencer would have loved to have done is last year, almost have given those younger players a lot of playing time, which would have given them more experience going into this year. So now at this point, the fact that you've not played ball in a year, that's tough for anybody to actually come back and all of a sudden get things kind of working. And I get that you've had time to practice and play some games, but at the same time, you lose a lot of form when you set out for a full year. It's hard enough to go from season to season, but all of a sudden when you're skipping a season and you have new players coming up and they miss that, again, it's, you know, kind of interesting how you work things in, work players in, giving them those opportunities, et cetera.
And again, I think some of these kids maybe missed some time with they were still quarantined and missed some time, started late. So, and some had some injuries so that beforehand. So some of these kids really haven't got to play a lot and got to practice a lot, so they're not in really full swing yet. Again, I think they are, again, like I said, the regional games they play with Hazard and Knott, to me, is kind of keep your head up. It's this team's not as bad as you know, the record shows. You know, they're 0-4. They've been competitive in some of their losses, so I think this team is going to be fine. Again, I think Frank's doing a good job with the program. So let's just kind of support your Powell County Pirates going forward. And again, this is a team that it will be better as time goes on. To me, they don't have enough depth at pitching to really be able to go in and maybe make a big run. Somebody's got to surprise me and really step up to the mound and take over the game. I'm not sure they got the dominant pitcher to really go and compete as far as a regional tournament. We got to have three to get there. Usually you have to have three pretty good pitchers to get to the championship. But that being said, I think the future looks bright for Powell County baseball.
Yeah, and I think if they can get a win tonight against Owsley County going into the Estill game, you know, at that point, at least you have confidence. And if you play well, even if you lose the game, if you play well and you continue to make strides, at that point, eventually, the wins will continue to come, in a sense. You know,
100% agree.
At that point, you know, again, with Estill being 3-3, they lost 5-4 to Hazard. The Pirates lost 7-4. So, obviously, you know, when you look on paper.
Close.
Very close, exactly. So, again, depending on how the Pirates do tonight, if they can get the monkey off their back, get a victory tonight against Owsley County, go into Estill tomorrow night, and hopefully that game is even played, obviously, with the rain coming in, you know, late tonight, early tomorrow, whatever the time frame might be, whether that game remains to be seen to be played. But at the same time, to get that confidence, then going on the road saying, okay, well, now we have won. Yeah. We know how to win. Let's kind of keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, and, you know, the pitching, again, where you got a game tonight, you really got to be careful on who you use, who you can't use, but you got to get a win. So it's, you know, you need a win tonight. You can't promise tomorrow even be played because of the rain, the forecast for tomorrow. But you still have to keep your pitching lined up where you want it to go into tomorrow. It's a little bit different than softball. This is probably the one thing that you have to kind of plan your whole week when you start playing in baseball for what pitcher's going to throw, which guy's got to sit, because it's pitches, number of pitches thrown now, not innings pitched. So, again, a safety rule for baseball. So, that going forward, are we ready to take a break here?
Let's continue on. Let's go on to girls.
Well, I was just going to go to, okay, that's fine.
I think we've only got one more break left.
We have one more. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
This is going to keep it right here.
We can roll on, man.
So let's just go down the district, if you will. The Estill County softball team, 6-0 on the season. They've come out of the gates on a serious roll. They've got a big game coming up tomorrow night where they will travel to Frederick Douglass. So we'll have to see how the Lady Engineers and Frederick Douglass, 0-3 on the season, for themselves. So, again, the Estill County softball team 6-0. Lee County 3-4 on the season. Owsley County coming in with a record of 0-6. And then the Powell County Lady Pirates just 1-2. The Lady Pirates have not played due to spring break. They will be back in action coming up this weekend. But when you look at the Lady Pirates, the fact that you had several players that played on the girls' basketball team didn't have a chance to necessarily join the team. There was a COVID case or so for the team. Obviously, even the weather, as far as even being able to get outside on the field, a lot of indoor practices, that kind of thing. So, obviously, coming back to be able to play this weekend to get things rolling for the Lady Pirates.
Yeah, well, this is something, I guess I'll take blame for some of this stuff, but we've actually had some of our equipment has been removed without permission by someone. We don't have our pitching screen available to us. It's has taken a walk. I don't know where it is. I can't locate it. And it's kind of threw us back a little bit on the hitting side. I got a protective screen to be able to use the machine or use a lot of live pitching. So with a lack of a screen, we'll go into action. Again, Buckhorn, the game, they have improved. Their pitching has improved greatly, but was a really easy win for us. Picked up 10 runs in the first inning. Again, not a lot of live pitching for us so far. Had a couple scrimmages outside, and going by that, kind of made a lineup out. The basketball players did not play that first game. Chloe Grader ran some bases, and I think maybe Carly Rogers got in and run some bases as well. Other than that, they didn't play in the first game. Only a three-inning game. Powell County won that one 15-0. Kelly Bloom had a one-hitter, and that one hit was just a little pop-up in front of home plate that nobody could get to. So pitched really well against Buckhorn. Came back and played Ledger Central on Saturday. Doubleheader with them. Lost the first game 7-1. Gave up 6, I think, in the fifth. So was really a competitive game into that one inning. We gave up 6 runs. That was the 7-1 difference. And then game two, they beat us pretty soundly. Beat us 17-0 in 5 innings. Had a big fourth and fifth inning. I removed a pitcher in the third, had given up 2 runs, so the score was only 2-0. They actually no-hit us in the game, so the score was 2-0 in the third inning. We were right in the contest in the fourth and fifth. I had some issues because my signal calling wasn't in sync with the pitcher, so that kind of aired that pitcher a little bit. That was my fault, not the kids. We played decent. I was very, very pleasantly surprised with Cheyenne Gearhart starting the season, sophomore. Obviously didn't play for us last year. Started her season 6-6. So got three hits against Buckhorn. And her first game against Letcher Central, got 3 hits against Letcher Central. And before she went over to in the second game. But nobody got hit second game. But I was really impressed with her. Her outfield play was good. Kelly Bloom got 3 hits the first game against Buckhorn. Statistically, when you look at some of the numbers for the Lady Pirates, we've hit the ball really good to be no hit in one of the games we played. Our team batting average is still around 338 for a team batting average.
That's impressive.
We picked up, I think, 10 hits against Letcher the first game. Didn't score the runs. Left a lot of people on base. Again, that game was probably a little bit closer than the score indicated. But did really hit the ball well against Buckhorn. And you look down at the totals for the season. You know, Kelly, or like I said, Cheyenne has 6 hits. She leads the team in almost every offensive category. Kelly Bloom has got 3 hits. Desi Plavnik, 3 hits. Keely Anderson with 3 hits. And on down the line. So we've hit the ball fairly well. Like I said, with no machine practice, let you throw the ball pretty hard. And mix it up well against us with a righty-lefty, a combo in the second game. Their best pitcher of the first game, which we actually hit pretty solidly. We just left way too many runners on base.
And again, early on, as far as like the struggles in a sense, and obviously it's just a matter of getting everybody together and being able to play things out in a sense. Yeah. And obviously adding the basketball players late, obviously. Not that that creates chemistry problems, but at that point, though, you have to work them in a sense, in order to keep that cohesion kind of going.
And that's what we did on Saturday. I had two lineups planned, and with different players, so we made some changes. A lot of people, different folks got in. Obviously, our pitching has got to improve past Kelly, and I think we got some good promise coming up. But overall, I'm pleased with our pitching. It's just we haven't got it to where our number two is really as competitive as we need them to be. So we'll have three or four girls really fighting out for that spot. So it's going to be important for us going forward. We play two Saturday. We play Letcher again and Belfry. Belfry, a good team coming in. The Hazard game on Friday night is going to be a tough contest for us. They've come off to a good start. You mentioned Estill County. We play them on Monday at 6-0. And a lot of folks talked about a lot of coaches in the 14th region have talked to me about preseason and really think that Perry Central is the team to beat. And I told a lot of those folks, I said, I think you're forgetting the team across the mountain, and that's Estill County. You can't forget about the Lady Engineers. You saw the start they had, and did you see the game with Estill Perry? Did you see the score?
I don't remember what it was, but
there was a five-inning game with Perry as
11-1.
11-1. Hello. Yes. Estill County's for real. Wolf County's got off to a really good start here in the region. They play some really tough competitors as well. Beat some good teams. So right now, if I had to rank the teams, we're only a week and a half in, you know, I would have to put Estill on top, Wolf probably second. I would still list Perry as third as of right now. Knott County's got a nice team, but their girls are just getting out. I think Breathitt and Jackson City both be competitive, as well as Hazard, Letcher, all those teams right there in the mix, again, here in the 14th region. So we'll have to kind of play a couple weeks to see what we got. It'll be a tough game, obviously, for us against Monday versus Estill. But you know what? A lot of times, the first time we play them, it's really close early. We kind of stay close with them. You've seen our games before when you do the broadcast. But, by the way, that game will be picked up by the Estill County Sports Network on Monday, so you can listen to it on WSKV as well. But I like our team. I like our team going forward. A lot of competitive battles going on for positions. I love that part. I really think I have 15 girls that can compete for the 9 spots, which, to me, in a COVID season, that's going to be big. I just got one back from COVID quarantine. Now I got another one on COVID quarantine. So, you know, it's going to be that way, I think, all season. We'll have to kind of see. So, again, those players who go on quarantine, they're going to miss at least 10 days. And that's going to be huge, because that's reps they can't get back.
You're exactly right. And obviously, under the circumstances, the more that you play, more opportunities. Yep. Exactly. And the fact that you have some interchangeable parts, you know, you have a little bit of depth in a sense, you know, obviously that bodes well. And I think Coach Frank Spencer has that option as well. Now, just a matter of, let's just get out there and play, gain that experience.
Yeah, you got to go play. That's what I always talk about. This is a kind of a preseason for us. We play these 30 games as a preseason to get ready for the district tournament. That's the goal, is to be as good as we can be for district tournament time. And that we played at Owsley County for, I guess, baseball and softball this year. So unless there's a change there, which we don't know yet, but again, that'll kind of do it for that. We'll take a break. We have time. We'll come up, give you the recap of what's going on here on the broadcast side here on WSKV.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protech Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protech Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back here to PCS. And I'm going to let Ken go back with the broadcast schedule, go through next Wednesday.
Okay, so obviously tomorrow night's game, as long as it's not a cancellation due to the weather, due to the rain, we will have that game for you as the boys, the Pirates, will travel to Estill County. Game time at 5:30, so we'll be bringing you that game. And then on Monday, girls softball, Pike County Lady Pirates will travel to Estill County. Again, the Estill County Sports Network will have that game for you here on Monday night. And then Tuesday, we will have one of the games for you. Still up in the air as far as which one it will be. We will either travel with the boys baseball team to Owsley County, or we'll have the girls softball game at home against Buckhorn. Again, not quite sure which direction we will actually go with that. And then we'll have PCSN live on Wednesday night, and then Thursday and Friday the girls softball plays Nicholas County, and then the boys baseball on Friday will play Fleming County. So again, those two games, still trying to work it out with the general manager as far as how many games we will be covering during a week's time. It might just be limited to one girls and one boys, and that's what we do in addition to the PCSN broadcast here on Wednesday. So again, we'll work that out, but at least that's tentatively where we are. But definitely tomorrow night and Monday for sure.
We'll be right here on WSKV. So again, tune in next week, Wednesday night, to get that broadcast schedule for the next week. We'll keep you posted. Again, thanks for listening here to WSKV's PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.